Well, good morning. Greetings in Jesus' name. It is always good to come to the house of the Lord to praise Him. And when I have to stand up front, I get pretty nervous. So, but this morning, I'd like to read some verses here and go over some verses in Acts chapter 3. But before we do that, let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing it is to gather here to worship you together. We thank you that you are all-knowing and that you make very clear that the walk here on this earth is not a lonely walk, but you desire for us to worship you with others. Lord, even if we were alone for whatever reason in a lonely place, you would always be there with us, so we wouldn't be truly alone. But we thank you for other brothers and sisters here to come before you. I pray that you would unite our hearts and minds together as we do the work that you would have us to do. We thank you for the work that you have laid out before us. And I do pray that you would help us to see it, to understand, and to be able to boldly move forward in encouraging others to proclaiming your word to those that are around us. Pray that this morning would be a blessing to you, and that what is brought forth this morning would encourage each of us to live a holy life before you. We give you many thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Here are the first 11 verses of chapter 3 of Acts. Is a very familiar passage for most of us. There's a lot of children's stories talked about it. There are songs. The passage is pretty straightforward. I believe there's a man here that has been brought to the gate of the temple. And Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray, and they have an encounter. They talk to him. He is healed, and he praises God. That, at that particular point, that is the background, or that's the foundation for what comes next in verses 12, through the end of the chapter, and maybe even beyond there. But I'd like to, this morning, just look at those first 11 verses. So I'd like to read those here this morning. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. So here in this passage here, we can kind of keep that, since we've heard it many times before, keep that whole idea into perspective, I think. So for a title this morning, I think I will choose the title Value and Hold On To. Going to kind of break this up in two parts. The first is value, and the second part is going to be hold on to. I find, and I kind of backed into that a little bit. So, you know, I may talk as though that was the beginning, you know, and the focus going, but actually after reading it, I kind of worked back to that, backwards. And I thought about it for a bit, and value is foundational. What do I value? You know, what do we value? It's pretty important to understand what is important to me. Because if I don't understand what is important to me, then I am just out there, you know, just doing whatever. I mean, there's no purpose, there's no focus. I have to have at least some sense of value. Now, that can change. What I value today may not be as valuable tomorrow or the next day or the next year. What I valued at 5 years old, I valued riding my bike an awful lot at 5 years old. I valued spinning in circles, looking at the stars at 5 years old. If I did that now, I'm going to fall down and probably get sick. So, you know, there's more than one reason to change values. And the second part is, what do I hold on to? Now, the first part is very important in order to, let me say this right. In order to look at the second part, what do I hold on to, or hold on to, you have to have some sense of value of something. Now, just because I hold on to something, I can easily talk myself out of that's not a great value to me. And if I don't hold on to something tightly, you know, figuratively speaking, I may say that's of great value, but I may not hold on to it that tightly. That's why I think it's pretty important to understand these so that we get things in the right order. Because when they are out of order, then things can kind of go awry. You know, that's where I find like, oh my, how did I find myself in this particular position? You know, because if I held on to something and gave it value that is not of real value to me, then I'm letting what is of real value go. In a sense, you know, to kind of put it to real life here, that's a struggle of a parent. That's a struggle of how to help children, you know, understand what's of value and what's important and dealing with life. You know, it's pretty important as an example to make sure that, you know, we have enough income in order to eat, but we don't overvalue that, you know, as an example. So when I teach my children, Am I teaching my children what I want to? Am I showing them really what is of value? That's just as an example. Okay, so that's the explanation of the title. Back here to Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Okay, so we have Peter and John. I have to remember the last chapter here where the apostles or all the disciples were together. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people thought they were drunk. So, you know, what? How do the people at the temple really look at Peter and John as they're going? So they didn't forsake the temple, I guess is my point. Here they are. They're going to the Lord's house. They're going to the house of somebody that they want to spend time with in prayer. You know, there's, I took a little bit of time looking at the hour of prayer. You know, there were three times is what the Jews considered an hour of prayer. We have Daniel praying three times. We have other examples of some Psalms talking about times of prayer. There are those that think that the times of prayer have to do with, you know, the daily sacrifices as well as a large meal in the middle of the day. You know, there's some good thoughts there. But here we do know pretty much that they went to pray, you know, at this particular time. And there was a man that was brought there many times. It was carried and laid there daily. Now, generally speaking, begging is not an honorable profession. I don't really think he wanted to be there. But he had no way to provide for himself. He said that he was crippled from his mother's womb, so he was born crippled. He was born not able to walk, so he wasn't able to get up and around. And so to provide for himself or to others or however all that worked, it doesn't really say. So in a sense, it's not terribly important other than that he was laid there and he couldn't provide for himself. And he went to beg, and he saw Peter and John coming, and he asked for a gift. He wanted some income. That's why he was set there. And here we have Peter fastening his eyes upon, or I should start in verse 3, who, talking about the man, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter fastening eyes upon him with John said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So he was looking for something to help him out, the whole reason he was there. And this is where we get the word value. What did Peter and John have of value to give him? It wasn't gold and it wasn't silver. This I've always found a very, I don't want to say difficult, but it is difficult. It's not difficult to understand, but how to put it into practice every day to give somebody what they need. You know, just because this man was asking for money doesn't mean that that was the best thing for him. He needed something greater. And John and Peter, or Peter and John, had that something to give them, to give to him, that was greater than just silver or gold. So let's look here and see what he gave them in verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." I'd like to turn and read verse, let's see. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read some verses here in the beginning of Matthew chapter 10. And when, and this is talking about Jesus calling his disciples. "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases." Peter and John were part of those. They had received power at this point here that Matthew has written down to heal many types of sicknesses and many types of diseases. This isn't the first time that this has happened. This isn't the first time that Peter and John saw a man healed. This is what happens when I kind of go out of order, too. At this point, I just would like to point out that later on in the chapter, I don't want to lose sight. I think it's important not to lose sight of where we're going to get to. It's kind of hard sometimes, you know, at the beginning of a, I guess, you know, you think of a book that you read. At the beginning of the book, you read the book, and you don't understand necessarily the foreshadowing that happens within the book that you learn of later. And sometimes you may not even understand the foreshadowing until you read it the second time around. Well, thankfully, with scriptures here, we can read it over and over again. But if we turn, if we just look forward a little bit to verse 19 of chapter 3 here, we read, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." We can't lose sight of the point here of repentance. This is an example, this healing is an example of how we all need to be healed. We all are crippled from birth, and we're only made whole through Jesus Christ. And we don't want to lose sight of that. So when we see here that Peter and John came to this beggar, to this person who was put in front of the gate, they saw his need, and what did they want to give him? They wanted to make him whole. Not just whole as in bodily, even though that was very important, but they wanted to make his soul whole, as we see later in the explanation of what is going on. So let's not lose sight of that and just get stuck on the physical part, but let's realize that this is more than just a healing of a person's feet and legs and ankles. This is an example of a healing of a soul. And Peter and John and the other apostles have seen and done this before, not just themselves, but as we remember that they have also seen Jesus heal and make people whole. They were filled here, the chapter before, with the Holy Spirit. This isn't the first time that they've healed. And we also don't want to forget that Peter and John were on their way to the temple to pray to the Lord. There's a focus here. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to start reading in verse 13 and read three verses, or maybe a little more, but likely three verses here. In Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." They had focused. They knew what their value, what was of value to them. In John chapter 6, verse 69 here, we have pretty much the same point. Now, without getting caught up in what was going on before, there were some hard sayings that Jesus had said prior to this, but in verse 66, it reads, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him," and that's with Jesus. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, the reason I say value is because that's what they had. That's what Peter, and I believe as well John, held very closely, and they were able to give to this man who was born crippled. Back to Acts chapter 3, verse 7. Now I'd like to look at hold on to, the idea of hold on to. What do we hold on to? In verse 7 it says, And he took him by the right hand. So now this is talking of Peter. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So Peter took the crippled person, and he was healed. His feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. So the man didn't just stand up. He just didn't kind of lazily get up. I guess the word I wrote down is he stood with vigor. You know, he had a purpose there as well. Is he was pretty excited, I don't really read a pause here. So I'm going to interject into my thoughts here. We kind of have to make some assumptions. And my assumptions is the man was ready to be healed. It wasn't a matter of, oh, I never thought of that before. Or, wow, before you heal me, let me just sit back and, you know, try to figure out if I want to do this. Likely, this man had already heard of Jesus. We remember the two disciples on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus came and talked to him. And when Jesus asked the two men for Emmaus what they were talking about, and, you know, my paraphrase is, where have you been? Are you visiting Jerusalem? Are you not been around here recently? Don't know what's going on? Well, from the sounds of things, as many times as this man was put at in front of the temple, he knew who Jesus was. I wonder if Jesus walked by him before. I don't know. It doesn't say. I don't know. But we do know what happened this time, that he heard that Jesus, through the name of Jesus Christ, that Peter was going to give him strength to stand. He took him by the hand and up he went. I when I was in school, I don't know why this point stuck in my head so fastly, but in my history class, I remember a couple of times the teacher talking about when the explorers would go to the new land, which where we live now, you know, come to North America, they would stake a flag in the ground and say, I claim this for the king, you know, or in the name of the king, this belong, or whatever the case, you know, one of those types of phrases. But the point was, the king wasn't there in body, but the king was there because their ambassadors were there. And that's exactly how I see Peter and John and the other disciples. They are healing this man in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in bodily form may not be there, but he's there. They are his people. And this person who was crippled from birth, I believe, understood that, and he reacted to it with faith. We also remember when Jesus was in Nazareth, he couldn't do very many miracles because there wasn't a lot of faith there in him. But here we see this man had the faith to be healed, and he jumped up. And not only did he jump up, but people noticed. Isn't that the way of salvation? Isn't that the way of salvation? Is there's a change. We're not the same person. I'm not the same person I was before. And I don't want to be that person again. There are temptations, absolutely. There are times of struggle, and there are times probably where I had turned back and became the same person for a short period of time. But we've got to remember, Jesus is our advocate. And he wants us to renew our mind and to be a new creature. And that's exactly what this man shows us, is he jumped up and everybody was amazed. Is how did they were in wonder. And how did this all happen to him? Verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter, right there held. Who do we hold on to? What do we hold on to? I guess this is the first time I noticed that word is when I was looking at these verses here, is verse 11, and as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Now, that point, that word stuck out to me this particular time, and I used it in the title because this man was healed, and he's not going to forget. We don't forget. We don't want to forget. We don't want to lose sight of what God has done for us. I do want to read a few verses. One of them here is in 2 Peter chapter 1. I won't read all of the verses before that, but feel free to read what this is talking about, or these things. In verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter writes, for if these things be in you, which, like I said, I encourage you to go back to find out what he's talking about. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten what he was purged from, what he was purged from his old sins. This man is not going to forget. We shouldn't forget. This is a reminder that Satan's going to try to make you forget. We can't forget what we have come from. And the whole idea here as well is in 2 Timothy, this is a little bit different of a angle, but similar, I believe. I'm going to start reading in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Paul writes here, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. So Paul is remembering Timothy in his prayers night and day. Timothy is pastoring a new church, comparatively anyway. Verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. Mindful, basically remembering, not exactly, but he's remembering, he's mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And when I call to remembrance, so Paul is remembering again, the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. So do you think that Paul is telling Timothy that he remembers these things for his own purpose? No, he already knows it. He's telling Timothy that he's remembering to encourage him. Don't you forget either. Verse 6, wherefore I put in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Remembrance, remembering what God has done for us, remembering the things that we have come through, focusing on the Lord, not focusing on the past, but the good part. Verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And in a sense, I don't see anything different. We don't really hear from the man that was healed, but by his actions, see that verse there in 2 Timothy verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7. So to sum things up here, the two thoughts that I wanted to share and leave with us this morning is, what do I value and how do I handle what I value? How I handle what I value is, do I hold on to it? Like the lame man held on to Peter and John. That's where his healing came from. Do I hold on to the things that God, that Jesus has done for me, and not forget the blessings that he gives? Always remembering and understanding, I'm going to read these verses 25 and 26 to conclude here this morning of Acts chapter 3. Ye are children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Let's praise God here this morning.